Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. We're going to talk about a lot of the people who lead people away from the Kingdom of God. And of course, we know that that would be people like Nimrod and people like Cain and Lamech of the Old Testament. There were certainly others along the way. The Pharaoh at the time of the bondage of Israel was originally not such a bad guy. He wasn't really the pharaoh or emperor or ruler of all of Egypt. He was just really a wealthy, influential man who was looked to as a leader. He did not really own the people yet. It wasn't until after the famine that the people were owned by the pharaoh, where they actually had to pay in to the federal pharaoh a certain amount of their labor, or the equivalent thereof, every year. And it was 20%, one-fifth. That was the bondage of Egypt. Even the word Egypt means bondage. It has to do with this idea that all the people have to pay into the government a percentage of what they earn in a given year, a portion of their labor in a given year, one-fifth. And then the government provides them with the necessary needs of that society in hard times or calamity. Now, when you create that situation where the government can force that contribution because you have made a covenant with them, a contract with them, you have become a party to their constitution because now a portion of your labor belongs to them and they can rule over you in that portion. And if you haven't made ceiling limits, they can actually rule over it a lot more. They can increase it to 25% or 30% or 50% like they can in Australia. But that's the foolishness of your own contract. The reality is, once you become a member of that contractual agreement, you may or may not leave it, depending on the terms. Now, if you allow that government to go into debt to provide those benefits, you can leave, but you have to pay back that debt first. Now you can't just leave town. And if you do leave town, you got to get all the way out of town, because you come back, they're going to beat the tar out of you because you owe. You are a surety for the debt. Beneficiary, surety. Surety, beneficiary. Know somebody who is a trustee, and the way the trust was written up, it ended up that the trust ended up owning money. He had to pay that money because he was an executor and he was the beneficiary and he was the trustee. And so therefore he's playing too many roles there. And he thought it was a big estate to start with, but there were so many claims against it, he ended up having to go bankrupt. He thought he was going to get rich and he ended up being bankrupt because there were too many claims against it. Well, welcome to America. You can't just leave now. You can claim fraud, but you better be able to prove it in the world court. And I think you're not going to be able to, because everything they were doing has been published. Your sloth is not their fraud. Your failure to read the fine print is not their fraud. Everything has been done enough so in public that you should have seen this coming years ago. Unfortunately, your ministers haven't been telling you. And I just talked on Blog Talk about, made reference to a few ministers that are actually pretty nice guys. You know, that they understand, you know, something about liberty and something that's wrong in America. And they're not just milquetoast guys. They'd probably be members of the Black Regiment themselves if they were back in the days of the early American Revolution. Not that everybody that was in the Black Regiment was a good minister of Christ. They certainly weren't. Some were, some weren't. You have to take it on a case-by-case basis. But the reality is they haven't got a clue of the nature of government. I mean, we've had to write two books to cover this. And, of course, we had to condense them down because the attention span of the average American couldn't read the original book that I had. Covenants of the Gods would be over 1,000 pages long if it was in its original format. It's 144 pages. They're big pages. Okay, I'll grant you that. So there's still a lot of reading. But you can download it for free and you can study the contractual nature of government, which is why God said, don't sign anything. Don't make a contract, covenant, or constitution with them. And then he even goes on later on in Deuteronomy and says, if you do make such a contract with a king, a ruler, someone who can exercise authority, you better pay attention to these 4 points and make sure he doesn't have that kind of power. Guess what? Constitution allows for all 4 of those things in one form or another. And because it's an organic constitution, they've been able to expand the power of those offices way beyond what the Bible would have allowed or desired. But the Bible and God allows you to do that. He allows you to create government. He allows you, the voice of the people, to elect Saul. He allowed that. He called it a rejection of God, but he allowed that. Why? Because he knew that when they did that, the punishment would come of their own actions. By the nature of their own action, they would be punished. And that's why rulers are there, to punish the wicked who elect them. Because they don't read Proverbs where they should read Proverbs, which is my son. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. They don't say that. They don't actually say that. But that's the gist of it. What they're saying is, let's start a social estate. Let's gain from our neighbor's wealth as well as our own so that we have a surety in our neighbor. He will have to provide us with our needs if bad things come. Let's consent to that agreement. You don't think that's what they're talking about? Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into a pit. They don't want to kill you. They want to swallow you alive. They want to bind you up alive. They want to bleed you while you're still alive because they're going to want more blood. We shall find all precious substance. We'll get rich. We shall fill our houses with spoils. We'll be wealthy as a people. Cast in thy lot among us. Cast in thy lot among us? Let us all have one purse. Hey, welcome to the socialist state. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Whose blood? Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of the bird. Yet he still flies into it. Didn't you see this coming? Why not? Oh, not full disclosure? I'll prove to you that's wrong. I'll prove to you you knew exactly what you were doing. Or you should have. For their feet run to evil, make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. In other words, you have coveted your neighbor's goods so that you would benefit and be secure. You did that. You don't have to even read the Social Security Act. You don't have to read these other subsequent acts that have come down. Health Care Act. Oh, big, huge Health Care Act. So giant, you can't even read the whole thing. Don't bother reading it. Just pass it. What on earth is that all about? You think, okay, now it's time to turn around. No, time to turn around was 100 years ago. Because you've been doing this for a long time. Health care is not the new kid on the block. He's just the big kid on the block. Public schools, Social Security, that's all socialism. That's all one purse. It's all you being greedy for gain. I want free education for my children. How are you going to get that? How do you get free education? There's no such thing as free. Nothing's free. There's no such thing as a free lunch, and there's no such thing as a free education. Somebody's got to pay. You wanted the blood of your neighbors to pay for your kids' education. I had six kids. I could have sent them to their local public school. They were spending almost $6,000-$7,000 per student then. Well, let's see, six times six, that's $36,000 a year. I wasn't paying that in taxes. I wasn't even making that. And if I was greedy for gain, I'd say, hey, I'd get an education for my kids for free. Wasn't for free. I would be coveting my neighbor's goods through the agency of a government that I not only helped create and my parents helped create, but that I was now willing to participate in. I would have sold my children out. Not only would they have gotten a terrible education, if you read our Schools the Fool pamphlet, gives you a brief, you know, I could have made that 200 pages long, but I made it 12 pages so that you get to actually get from cover to cover without falling asleep. This is the problem. The problem is you. You have been coveting your neighbor's goods, and your preachers have been saying, it's okay. Jesus loves you. Jesus don't mind if you covet your neighbor's goods. Jesus, all you have to do is believe and you are saved. You don't have to be doers of the word. You just have to believe. Now, you tell me that isn't the devil, because Jesus said, not those that hear, but those who doeth the will of the Father. And you haven't been doing that. You haven't been doing that for the last year. You haven't been doing that for the last 10 years. You haven't been doing that for the last 100 years. You spend the last 100 years getting into a pit of bondage. And what are you going to do about it? Hey, let's whine about it. Let's fuss about it. How about that? Is that going to work for you? You know, I got a little bit different tone today. I'm giving you a hard time. You need to have a hard time, because if you don't face up now, you think this is hard? I'm talking to you over the radio. You want to know what's going to be hard? It's when you can't hear me anymore. It's going to get hard then. You need to find the solution of Christ. You need to repent. You need to turn around. You know, they always do John the Baptist yelling and screaming there in the desert, repent. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, his righteousness does not include laying in wait for the blood of your neighbor so that you can have free education, free health care, free all this other stuff. Now, Christ's kingdom is a socialist state. He intends to take care of the needy of his state. I mean, there's a few rules, like if you don't work, you don't eat. And we can't force you to contribute to the needy. You have to choose to do that. You have to tax yourself in the kingdom. Because, see, you're the state and we're not. We're the servants of the state. But you're the state. We're public servants. See, they use that word public servant today, but he's really public ruler. You got to do this, fill out this, you got to pay this, you got to do that, or we'll have guys with sunglasses coming by with guns to arrest you. That's the government you've created. You created Babylon. You created Nimrod. You created men who exercise authority one over the other. You created this. God didn't create this. God let you do it, but God knew it would punish you. It will get worse. Because you weren't ruled by God and righteousness of God. You were ruled by greed, apathy, sloth. The slothful should be under tribute. Proverbs tells you that. So now you got to give to Caesar what is Caesar's. But you got to start turning your life around and start seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means you have to start coming together and actually start loving your neighbor as much as yourself, instead of sending men to his door with a gun to take away from your neighbor so that you can sit there and send your kids off to free education at public school. That's a bad thing.